From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of December 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. And a bit later in the program, TGM's Matt Bennett from Windsor, Illinois, will be here to look at the cash grain markets. We'll discuss the weather forecast, too. It's a cold one and getting colder. We'll talk about that with Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois, on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
The numbers in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon finished like this from the CME Group. The nearby December wheat at $6.38, 9 1/4 lower. The March at $6.52, down 9 3/4. And July soft red at $6.54 a bushel, 9.5 cents lower. July hard red at $6.88, down 7. December corn futures 2 3/4 lower at $4.22 3/4 on the settlement price. The March at $4.33 1/2 a bushel, down 3 cents. And May corn, $4.42, down 2.5. July contract, $4.49 2.5 cents lower as well. December of next year, a penny and 3/4 lower at $4.62 1/2. January beans, $13.28, down 1.5. The March at $13.11 3/4, down 0.5 cent. And May contract at $12.97 1/4. Down 1, or rather up 1 1/2 in that contract. July futures up 1 3/4 at $12.89 3/4 higher for the day. And the August contract at $12.58 3/4. It turned the other way around and went down a penny for the day. Bean meal futures at $4.46 10. That's down $1.80. And the bean oil at $40.38 24 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the December contract at $131.65, $1.07 1/2 cents lower. February futures at $132.90, that's down $1.52 1/2. And January feeders for the afternoon, $164.12 1/2, down 92 1/2 cents. The March at $164.42 1/2, down 92 1/2 as well. December lean hogs, $82.52 1/2, $1.15 lower. And the February contract at $80.67 1/2. Down 32 1/2 cents. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures are trading $97.51 a barrel. They're up 31 cents. And the RBOB gasoline at $2.71 7 cents. That's just about 0.2 cents lower. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. It does come to you from the University of Illinois. Ethanol futures trading the January contract at $1.90 8/10 cents, or 4 7/10 cents higher. Natural gas now at $4.13 5 cents, or 4.13 1/2. That's up 17 1/2 cents. And diesel fuel at $3.05 3/10 cents, down 5 10 cents. Gold futures are trading $1,232.50 on their settlement price, down $14.90 in the U.S. dollar at 80.23. That was down 0.38. And a couple of things that are coming up over the next several weeks, starting next week, in fact. I'll be back out on the road for the winter meeting season. We'll start on Tuesday evening at Mount Vernon at the Farm Credit Services Illinois building there. You can find all the details about our Will Ag Outlook panel at willag.org. Gary Schnitke will be on hand for that one, along with Matt Bennett, who we'll hear later in this program. And, of course, we'll also have Sherm Newland. There is a registration for that one, only because they have a meal. You can do that. Find all the information at willag.org and look over in the Outlook section for the meetings, and you'll find it. Not only will you find it, but you'll find the following one on the 11th of December. We'll go from Mount Vernon to the next day to Sikeston, Missouri, and we'll have John Bondurant along with Jackie Vakes and Dan Zwicker with us at the Missouri University Extension Regional Corn Meeting. That one you do need to register for, but I think that's still open and you can register. That's in Sikeston, Missouri at the Minor, I'm not sure which way it's pronounced, I think Minor, Convention Center. And it's right next to the Drury Inn. Please do visit us and join us if you can. All of our meetings are up on our webpage at willag.org. Hey, at the bottom of this half hour, we'll take a look at those cold temperatures. We'll talk with the folks at T-Storm Weather. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. The fifth day of December.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, Dan Zwicker is on the phone line. He's normally in Mandeville, Louisiana, and tells us about the nice warm temperatures in the wintertime. But he's stuck here in the great state of Illinois today. And then next week, he's traveling with me in the lower part of Illinois, Missouri, Kentucky area. And it looks like it's going to stay cold. And, well, today you're just stuck because there's bad weather south, right?
Yeah. Dallas Airport is... looks like it's going to be iced up for 2 days, so anybody that needs to fly through Dallas is stuck. So the good thing is I'm stuck up here with my dad, so I get to spend the weekend with my dad, and hopefully Monday it straightens out and I can get a flight down to Memphis and meet you down in Sykeston, Missouri.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. That's in 1 week. We'll be at Missouri University Extension's Regional Corn Meeting. If you have not registered for that one and you want to come to it, that'd be great. Dan will be there along with John Bondurant and Jackie Vakes. It should be a really good meeting. Find all the details at willag.org. The one thing that hasn't been really happening much, Dan, and we got used to over the last 5 years or 10 or 15 or 20 cent moves, and now we're down to a penny and 2 and 3 and 4 cents sometimes, but not nearly the volatility we used to have.
No, and you can see that in the options. The option market has very low volatility factors at the moment, and that tells you that the market really doesn't expect the market to do a whole lot or any major big moves, at least at this point, as we finish out 2013. Everybody's fairly comfortable with supply on corn. You know, most analysts still feel that maybe USDA is still low on the yield, so a lot of them are still kind of looking at a little larger number. Maybe we go into that January report. Beans, though, the demand factor on beans has turned out to be much stronger than what most people were looking at a month or 2 months ago, and you know, carry out looks like that's going to basically hold unchanged for the coming year. So the soybean market is going to stay relatively firm to corn. It may even be able to rally from current levels. I do think there's a corn rally in the making. This week is the first week that we really got a sign here that maybe we have hit bottom after basically December futures have been in a 12-month decline. It posted its highs for the year in early January and has really never looked back. And the low that we had here on Monday at 410, and now we've rallied 12, 13 cents off our lows. We took out last week's high. So barring any major decline tomorrow, in the marketplace, corn could score an outside up weekly reversal, and that would be at least the strongest indication yet from a technical perspective that we have maybe hit bottom, and then the market may try to rally over the next several weeks. The scoop is the index funds are going to have to rebalance their portfolio, and they're going to be bigger buyers of corn at this level. That, along with maybe some short covering and light farmer selling, we might be able to, get a measurable map bounce. We're not going to have any big rallies because farmers own too much inventory. That hedge pressure or potential hedge pressure still hangs over the marketplace. But there is reason anyway, from a technical perspective, that maybe the fundamentals might be tilting a little more friendlier than what they have been over the past several months.
Well, we'll take that fundamental up during Commodity Week tomorrow evening. We'll record in the afternoon, post that to about 6 o'clock on our website at willag.org. You'll be there as one of our panelists, along with Kurt Kimmel. Joe Vaclavic of Standard Grain will be our guest on that program, and we'll find out whether corn actually can post a weekly outside up week, and that would be good news, I guess. But I don't know how good the news would be. Would it mean much of a turn?
Well, it would be at least an indication that the market is out of sellers at the moment. And I mean, Monday is what told you that. They went down and took out the low that we had here a couple of weeks ago, and there was no follow through. So the traders had to cover their shorts in a hurry.
Right.
I think farmers as a group, I mean, that there is no doubt they own the inventory. And, you know, the old saying goes, as long as the commodity is held by weak hands, the market's not going to rally. And when it's in farmers' hands, it's considered weak hands. When you have that transfer over to strong hands or the commercials, then the market goes higher. And I think you can actually kind of see what's happening in the beans, because farmers have been more willing sellers of these $13 type beans over the past month or two. And beans are the ones that are in the best shape, at least fundamentally, and a tighter balance sheet, and even technically to maybe take a stab at $14. That might be a little bit of a reach, but it would not surprise me, because beans did close out the month of November with an outside monthly reversal to the upside, and now we're starting to show some upside follow-through from that reversal. China continues to be a big buyer. There's a little confusion about what China demand may or may not be, especially with this non-GMO corn issue that we got going on. You know, maybe the technicals are telling us that the South American crop may run into some kind of weather problems as we go down the road after the first year or whatnot. I do think, though, in the Midwest here, we are going to see people move to soybeans over corn, maybe more so in the fringe areas. I was with a group of CGV employees this week here in central Illinois, throughout the country, and at least in the fringe areas, there's going to be a big movement over to soybeans versus corn, because of the current corn prices are just to cost too much to raise corn at $4 when you can take a look at $11 to $12 type beans. So corn is doing what it needs to do. It needs to reduce supply, which that'll happen with less acres. And the demand has been on the upswing. I mean, we do have good, strong ethanol demand going. We have seen a big pickup of export demand compared to a year ago. We're putting more livestock and poultry numbers on feed. So, you know, maybe the corn balance sheet won't look too bad two or three months down the road as we go into the growing season than what it did here this past month or so.
Well, I'm wondering, as you look at those deferred months, you've got, what, a 40-cent spread between December this year and December next year for corn, right, or thereabouts?
Right, we're in full carry.
Yeah, and then, but beans are not that way. November beans are, let's see, we have 13.28 and what?
Right.
Yeah,
it's an inverted market.
It's an inverted market for beans, but even the difference there is the difference in the price doesn't seem like there's enough. I don't know. You think that really beans will garner that many more acres out of it?
Well, the corn ratio on the front month is 3 to 1 or 3.1 to 1,
right,
right in there. So,
well, that would make people plant beans. Yes.
Yes, that is, that definitely.
But the back months don't make people plant beans, do they?
No. Well, not yet. I think that will, though, strengthen toward 3 to 1 as we go toward the planting season.
Okay.
I do think, but we'll have to see what happens in South America. But there is no doubt that we are seeing more beans planted in South America today than what we did a year ago, and we're losing corn acres. So the world corn balance sheet is actually slowly tightening, but, you know, the unintended consequences then of a shrinking corn supply is basically a much larger soybean supply. And a lot of the bears are already talking about, you know, if we have a big crop in South America, then we increase 4 to 5 million acres here in the United States, and we have good weather, then we'll be back into the 400 million bushel carryover level, which again would be burdensome, very similar to the 2 billion bushel level that we're looking at on corn for the coming year. So it does look like the higher prices that we experienced over the past 5 years were in the on the downside of that cycle, and we're back building supplies, and it's very hard to get a market to rally in that type of environment. But I want to give up on pricing opportunities because I know enough about the markets that there's always something that kind of comes along. But I do think farmers are going to have to be quicker to react to pricing opportunities, to take advantage of them when they come, compared to what we've kind of grown accustomed to over the past 5 or 6 years.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon.
Very well, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Actually, today he's up in the northwestern corner of the state of Illinois, just below Moline, and visiting with his father, stuck there because he can't get back to Mandeville and New Orleans and through the Dallas airport, that is. They're all iced in at this time, probably backing up a lot of flights. We'll take a complete look at the weather forecast and find out it's going to be cold, if nothing else, over the next several days. And we'll talk with T-Storm Weather's Mike Tenora at the bottom of this half hour. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
Coming up next, what did you do with all those falling tree leaves this year? Lisa Braltz discovered a ducky alternative to bagging them for the landfill in this encore edition of In My Backyard.
Deciduous trees, trees that lose their leaves in autumn, in our part of Illinois, are especially beautiful about 6 months out of the year. The appearance of their leaves in spring after long winters and their showy foliage in the fall, late this year, it seems, are hotly anticipated and discussed seasonal occurrences. And the shade they provide during our sweltering summers is invaluable. But when winter begins its final approach and big fall winds blow the once colorful leaves to the ground, something probably should be done with them, right? And you have options. You can ignore them, you can move them around to different parts of your yard, and outside city limits, you can burn them. But we're lucky in Champaign County. We have a major loop closing resource in the Landscape Recycling Center in Urbana. Leaves and yard waste from Urbana-Champaign can be composted at the center, and the resulting garden compost is available for sale to local gardeners in the spring. However, Urbana resident Jana Hoyer needs leaves. And it's not like she doesn't have any. She lives in a heavily treed neighborhood, but she needs more. Lots more. Why? Well, it's about the ducks. Her ducks.
Honestly, what I really use them for now is I have herding dogs, and I can't have sheep in my backyard, so we train on ducks. We use the eggs, and they make fantastic compost.
Keeping fowl is legal in Urbana. While most people understandably think of chickens when they think of urban fowl, a walk down the street in some of Urbana's neighborhoods tells another story. Jana keeps bantam ducks in her backyard. The ducks are really for her dogs to practice their herding with, but in the winter, they don't earn their keep at all. They're total mooches. They eat a ton, they don't lay eggs, and they need a place to hang out that's warm and relatively clean. Enter the leaves.
When you have poultry and they're in a confined space, you need bedding. Chickens, straw works fine because they dig it up and stir it around. Ducks, straw is a disaster because their big flat feet stomp it down. It mats, it goes anaerobic, and it's nasty. I discovered by accident that leaves make fantastic bedding for them. They fluff up, they dry out fast, so they don't get all matted. The thing is it takes a lot of leaves because they compost really fast. I need way more leaves than my trees around my yard can provide.
Jana was looking at chopping straw all winter, an alternative that somehow made me think of Laura Ingalls Wilder and The Long Winter, the one where the Ingalls family twisted straw to keep warm. She wasn't sure how she would get enough leaves to avoid chopping straw, and she was ready to do it. But fortunately, she realized she could put out a call to her neighbors and, well, to complete strangers.
I'm gonna pile where?
On the concrete pad.
Oh, so I'll have to bag them anyway to get them there.
Okay, well, yeah. So what I started doing is asking people for their leaves. They're bagging them up and tossing them, so I want to use them. And I put out a plea on Facebook, and I have people all over Champaign-Urbana bringing me bags of leaves right now.
Using materials that are trash or an annoyance or unconventional to great benefit is not exactly new terrain for Jana and her family. Lengths of PVC pipe and twine become huge trellises. Wire cattle panels keep tomato plants upright. Reclaimed lumber becomes raised garden beds. And leaves of all kinds from all over Urbana-Champaign become bedding for ducks. And when spring comes, compost for the garden.
I was influenced by permaculture. We try to get everything to interact. Outputs from one thing should be inputs from another thing.
This kind of backyard project is an awesome way of closing the loop even more locally. There are people behind those bags of leaves, and they know exactly what's going to happen to those leaves when they bring them over to Jana's house. They can meet the ducks if they want. And if they're lucky, they might even get some compost from their own leaves to use in their own gardens in the spring. It's almost like a tiny compost CSA. I think those ducks might be earning their keep this winter after all. This is Lisa Braltz for In My Backyard.
As always, our thanks go to Lisa Braltz with production assistance from Dave Dickey for our In My Backyard segments.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Matt Bennett is here now with an update of the cash grain market. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Matt, quiet there today?
Yeah, not a whole lot going on, really. We're actually shipping some beans out. Got a couple of different places wanting beans fairly bad, and so we've shipped out a bunch of beans, really, since harvest has wrapped up.
That's been when and where most of the action really has been for the fall, hasn't it?
Most definitely.
And that's because they're just that short from lack of supply last year and still hunting them up, or are there other reasons? Demand?
Well, I think there's a little bit of everything, but I know we're shipping out a ton of beans, exporting a ton of beans. A lot of beans are heading south in the Gulf, and, you know, bean basis is awfully strong. You know, we're looking at really good levels locally for this time of year. I mean, you know, we're only bidding 500, so that's really amazing this time of year with a pretty good-sized crop on both corn and beans.
Do you see any slowdown in that basis level as we head into January?
Well, you know, I would have to think that once things break loose a little bit more, especially on the corn, that the basis levels would soften a little more. I think that we've seen a little bit of that here recently, but, you know, we're still bidding a pretty tight basis between 10 and 1500, depending on which location you're at for us. But, you know, our basis levels on corn probably will soften before the bean ones, in my opinion.
Hey, thanks so much for the time.
Hey, have a great day.
Matt Bennett with TGM back in 2 minutes.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Tort Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1855, Clinton Hart Merriam was born. A biologist, he studied the effects of using birds to control agricultural pests. He also helped found the National Geographical Society, and he was the first chief of what is today the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. In 1864, Lewis Jones died, a U.S. agricultural biologist. His studies made possible a much greater control of potato diseases and increased yield. He also carried out fundamental studies on bacterial soft rot in carrots and other vegetables. In 1876, D.C. Stilson patented the first practical pipe wrench. In 1869, he had whittled a model out of wood, which he showed to his boss at the Walworth Company. Stilson was instructed to test one built out of steel. The test convinced the company owner that the concept was sound. In 1937, Ernest Grundin and Frank Lyon set up the first commercial-scale hydroponic plant culture system. A patent was issued to them on December 1st of 1936 for, quote, a system of water culture. And in 2006, New York became the first U.S. city to ban artificial trans fats in restaurant food. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line, Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for taking the time with us. Go through the weather forecast for this evening, tomorrow, the weekend, and then into the next week for the Midwest and right here in our part of the world, too, please.
Yeah, well, we essentially have two different things that are taking place in the weather world. The number one issue is that we have the polar vortex dipping southward from the Arctic Circle. This is the coldest air in the northern hemisphere, and right now it's located over the Canada prairies and extending into the U.S. northern plains. This is why temperatures across eastern Montana fell to 20 degrees below zero, and that's just the actual air temperature. We should see temperatures in that region falling into the minus 30s over the next couple of mornings. So we're talking about an extreme air mass as far as coldness goes. Now, we will see a taste of that across Illinois, not only beginning today, but continuing all the way through about Tuesday. We won't be anywhere near as cold as they will be in the northern plains, but we will see minimum temperatures in the single digits on many mornings coming up here over the next 5 to 6 days. Now, we don't think there'll be a very large winter kill threat for Illinois and for the Corn Belt, for that matter. There's a number of reasons for it. Number one is that we have a large snowstorm that will move through southeast Missouri, southern Illinois, and then into parts of Indiana and Ohio over the next 36 hours. So areas around Carbondale and into possibly St. Louis could be looking at a 5-inch to 10-inch snowstorm from this. That will blanket all of that wheat in this region, so it will be protected from any coldness that occurs. But more importantly than that, temperatures just won't be cold enough to induce winter kill. We really need to see temperatures below zero. And we think that across the soft red winter wheat belt, we won't be seeing temperatures anywhere near that cold. But nonetheless, a big change is occurring right now, and that's going to last here for a while.
No good news for wheat growers in the United States. Wheat growers in South America have been in the process of harvesting, and of course they're also in the planting season and mid-season. It's a very long season, depending on which end of that continent you happen to be on. Can you tell me about the progress there?
Yes, well, harvesting is progressing across Argentina right now as far as the wheat crop goes, and that will continue for a few more days. But as we head into the weekend, and especially early next week, a wetter pattern begins, so wheat harvesting will tend to slow. South America does have an interesting pattern that is underway, though. The jet stream is flowing from southwest to northeast across all grain and oilseed areas of Argentina, Paraguay, and Brazil. It's unusual for all of these areas to be receiving energy from the jet stream, and because of this, a wet pattern is occurring, or will be occurring at least, over the next 10 days across a very large area. So we're not looking for any dryness problems anytime soon in Argentina, Paraguay, or Brazil for either the corn or the soybean crop. Everything is looking very good.
And that is, of course, Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270. Support comes from Country Financial. Country Financial is hosting farm information sessions throughout Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates to the federal crop insurance program, the farm bill, and how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. Registration information is on their crop update website at countrycrop.com/update.